It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searle.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Nick warned me about this. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser with you. Let's say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, joins us now. He's talking hockey. It's opening day in the majors. It's just a great day overall. Greg, how are you?
Morning, Greg.
It's not a great day. So I'm a Mets fan.
Oh.
And
sorry.
Yeah, you just played the Edwin Diaz entrance music. Reminding me that our closer, in true Mets fashion, injured himself celebrating an exhibition tournament victory. So it's not, I mean, it's in the pantheon of Mets fandom, that might not even crack the top five calamities, but it's up there. But like I said to my fellow Mets fans this morning, like, today's the best day of the season, you know, 0-0 on the board, full open minds, full hearts. Great to be a Mets fan today.
Yeah, it's funny. So I'm a Braves fan. So, you know, we obviously have a little rivalry in the NL East. But Willie Donick's a huge Mets fan. And so I whenever something like that happens, I feel like I need to go give him a hug. So,
yeah.
You know, that's just kind of the way it is. But it'll be a fun day, a fun year, no matter what, because baseball's back. Hockey, though, is winding down. Only 9 games left for the Predators I feel like this is how I lead off every week, but 3 points now out of a playoff spot, and they keep having injuries mount up with Duchesne now on the list, but these young guys are keeping them in it, and the other night a win over Boston was just huge.
Yeah, I mean, and Rare, too. I mean, Rare is the team that has taken out the Bruins this season, so that was a real big surprise. Hey, look, man, I mean, Kent, 10% chance of making the playoffs and a 0% chance of making the playoffs. Stranger things have happened. If, you know, Ysy Soros is going to stop 35 of 36 like he did against the Bruins, I mean, who's to even say, especially when you consider the teams that they're chasing, which I guess would be the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames for that last playoff spot in the West. I mean, can't seem to get out of their own way sometimes. So they're not done yet. I mean, it's not as if it's mathematically impossible to see them make a run, but like you said, I mean, the hill is steep, the injuries are mounting, and it would probably take riding Soros into the ground and him having the kind of run that he's capable of having to make this thing a reality.
Yeah, and they play a Pittsburgh team tonight that's kind of in a similar situation that they are in the East. Now, Pittsburgh is in a wild card spot right now, but that's been a team that, you know, I feel like they have just kind of been hanging on to the glory days, hanging on to the core group, and they might have big decisions to make this offseason. But what's kind of your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Penguins right now?
Yeah, man, it's always when you try to keep the band together, you always run the risk of blowing out a couple of your amps. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough gig to try to recapture the magic. It works for some teams. I mean, the Boston Bruins successfully were able to rebuild around an aging core and obviously made themselves into a juggernaut this year. But, you know, the Penguins simply couldn't find the right mix to put around Crosby, Letang, Malkin, and some of the other returning players, and it just didn't come together for them this season. What happens in the off season? I think the smart money is on Ron Hextall, their general manager, being fired, and then them trying to maybe just do this again in some way, shape, or form. One thing is clear. I mean, they backed their goaltending battery a little too hard. I think there's always been questions about Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith. And this season, I think that goaltending has really let them down and might be one of the spots they really have to reevaluate in this offseason.
Greg Wyshynski joins us from ESPN right now. Greg, earlier this morning, Dan Hinote, Preds assistant coach, joined us. And when discussing the matchup between the Pens and the Predators tonight, you know, he talked about the last time they met and some of the younger guys were a little starstruck, I guess, when playing against guys like Sidney Crosby they grew up watching. How often do you see that when covering the NHL? Some of these young guys get brought up and, you know, for a moment they have to realize, oh, I'm playing against these guys right now. I'm on this ice just like they are.
It happens a lot, and it also happens when these guys get called up and enter a locker room and look around, and all of a sudden you're Sidney Crosby's teammate, right? Like it's
yeah.
kind of a crossing the Rubicon moment that you're not really prepared for in life. It's that moment when you realize you've made it, and that you no longer have to look at the poster on your wall at these guys, but now all of a sudden you look over at the locker room stall next to you, and there he is, right? I wrote a story last year about basically the Sidney Crosby generation. You know, there's three players in like the last 15 years that have really influenced this wave of players that we're seeing today. And they're Sidney Crosby, Patrice Bergeron, and Patrick Kane. Like those mm-hmm. are the three guys. If you're a forward, one of those guys was your guy. And I talked to a lot of players about, you know, lining up against Sidney Crosby on a faceoff. I remember talking to Dylan Cousins from the Buffalo Sabres about that very thing and hearing about how incredibly intimidating it is to all of a sudden be like right across from your hero, your icon, the guy that you modeled your game after. And then, you know, after a while, it kind of becomes a more commonality to face these guys. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it is opening night jitters a lot of times for these young players when they get a chance to line up against their idols.
They check you against the glass, and you're like, okay, back in action. Greg, came out yesterday that the Predators signed Jake Livingstone, one of the top college free agents from Minnesota State. What do you know about him? How much of an addition do you think this can be for the Preds as they, you know, try to round out the regular season with a lot of their veteran guys unavailable right now?
Yeah, Livingstone's an interesting one because there were a lot of teams that were kind of after him during his college career. I was actually really, when I saw that news the other day come across the wire, I was pretty impressed that the Predators were the ones that ended up with him. 6'3" defenseman. He can produce points. He, I think, gets 35 and 38 from Minnesota State this season. You know, he was there for 3 years and he certainly was courted by other NHL teams. I had the coach of Arizona State, Greg Powers, tell me that, you know, Livingstone was definitely somebody that you hear mentioned a lot when it came to those, college, free agents. And the fact that Nashville landed him, I think is pretty impressive. He's one to definitely watch. He's a good acquisition for them.
Greg, lastly for you, looking at this Predators team and all of their veterans that are either unavailable or they traded at the trade deadline in this young core that John Hines and his coaching staff has put out there week in and week out and still fighting for a playoff spot, an opportunity tonight to be 1 point behind Winnipeg, how much do you credit the coaching staff for what they've been able to get these guys to do in these last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, it's a tough one to really parse because I haven't seen enough of what the team is doing systematically right now under Hines to really understand mm-hmm. if it's things that he's doing or not. But I will say this. I mean, you have to remember the context of where they are in this season. And yeah, like they've inched up back to the bubble. They do have a percentage chance of potentially making the playoffs. But at some point, when your team raises the white flag at the trade deadline, as they did with the Ekholm trade, the pressure's off and it becomes kind of a different thing. You know, maybe people are playing with a little bit less stress and strain on themselves. Maybe the kids can come up and just kind of find their way without worrying about like blowing a playoff spot. So I think a lot of it might be psychological and maybe John Hines has done a good job in trying to foster that and you know, keep them focused while also kind of looking at the bigger picture. But I think for this team, it's just maybe, you know, once you've checked out, then all of a sudden things come a little bit easier for you. And that's especially true for younger players. You don't have to really worry about, you know, like I said, all that pressure that comes with a really big playoff race. Although, who knows, now they're in one maybe.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the show. Greg, appreciate it as always, and good luck to your Mets.
Thanks, Greg.
We'll need it.
Thanks
so much.
We'll talk next week. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN joins us every Thursday at 9:45 as a part of the Power Play and always enjoy our conversations with him. And, yes, it is opening day. We'll continue our question of the day if the new rules will get your attention and get you more involved in Major League Baseball. But coming up next, how much do the interviews before the draft sway a decision by a team? We'll discuss that. It's Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.